I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, folks. Hope you had a great weekend. I know it was a little wet, but we need the rain for sure. And hopefully this week will be better. We've got a great lineup for you today. We'll visit with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, in a 12 o'clock hour, and we'll talk about the government shutdown in week two. But more importantly, we'll talk about the impact on this country and on you individually. And things are starting to reveal themselves as to how serious this could be. We'll talk about flood insurance options during the shutdown. That's top of mind issue for us here in the state of Louisiana for sure. The job market and some other issues as well. Ron Fauché joins us, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. We've got a big mayor's election coming up. This Saturday is the election, right? And we got a number of council seats up, a number of other seats that are up as well. We'll talk about the political climate. We'll talk about where we are, and we'll talk about other political issues that are going on nationally as well. At 11, Stefan Padfield, he's the executive director of the Free Enterprise Project. I read a commentary that he wrote the other day whereby he outlines a four-point strategy that he calls focused fighting. And it's really about how we engage with one another on contentious issues. I found it very interesting. We'll talk about that, about how do we heal this divided nation. We'll visit with Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. The Saints were winners yesterday. Big game. Glad they pulled it off. Very excited for the new coach. Obviously, Spencer Rattler. The defense did what they needed to do as well. Overall, everyone contributed in some way, shape, or form. So, and I know the Houdat Nation is very happy about finally getting that burden off our back where we finally got our first win. The Saints now move on to take on the Patriots. Will be here on October 12th. It'll be a 3:25 start. So we know that we're getting to the very end of the LaToya Cantrell administration. The last day of her administration is actually on my birthday, January 11th. What a great gift, quite frankly, because what's happening now, just as I predicted, you will recall, probably, 6 weeks ago, that things were going to start and continue to reveal themselves about this budget, about problems within the administration, because folks were going to start resigning and moving on. They weren't going to stay here to the bitter end. I don't guess there's a high hope of many of these folks staying on. I think some will. Some are worthy, in my opinion. Others, not so much. and a number have fallen out. And so people are going to start talking, right? And that's exactly what's happened. And, you know, worst of all, we've got a situation where we can't figure out how much money we have. How much of a shortfall are we experiencing? The mayor says that her parting comments in her last budget that she presents, we need revenue. That is big. We don't need ordinary revenue. We need big revenue. We need revenue that is going to truly meet where we are in this moment. I don't know how anybody kept a straight face when she made this presentation to the council. I would have fallen out of my chair, right? So you create the moment where we're down and out in Beverly Hills, and now you're saying that we need revenue to meet us at this artificially created moment where you weren't paying attention for 8 freaking years, and now your parting words of wisdom to the constituency and the council is that we need big revenue to meet us where we are in this moment. And of course, what would this bold statement be without a cliche? The nickel and diming will not work. Really? Yes, but that goes to the nickel and diming cuts that you say that you've made, right? You need to have your expenses meet your revenue where it is. And you can't base it on some aspiration that you are going to convert thousands upon thousands of people to believe a damn thing that you have to say. Do you think maybe she read those remarks to anybody? I don't think so. Because if there was anybody in that administration that had a half a lick of sense, they would say, don't say that. No, that's not good. No, that doesn't make any sense. You've been in control of this budget for 8 years. You can't go out there and say that the revenues need to be big and they need to meet us where we actually put us. Not good, Larry. It doesn't work. You're digging a deeper hole. But obviously, she surrounded herself with folks that are not willing to say that the emperor has no clothes. How could you be part of an administration that would allow you to go and say these things? Oftentimes, there are members of a staff. I know. I did it many times with my predecessor. You might want to think and reflect on those thoughts a little bit more. Sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't. But the fact of the matter is that you just cannot let folks run out there doing this. And, you know, so as a result of all of this, we now find out that the bond rating in the city of New Orleans has been reduced. Not that that's the end of the world. It's not. I mean, it could potentially mean if the city decides to go out on another bond issue and borrow more money, they're going to pay more interest. Well, that's never a good thing. It's always a good thing to pay less interest, right? And that's why you work hard each and every day to make sure that your financial statements and everything that you're accounting for is sacrosanct, so that you don't have to go before the public and actually reveal to them that you don't have a clue as to what you're doing. And you don't have a clue as to actually how much money you have. You don't have a clue as to how much working capital you need to make it through the year on a cash basis so that you don't have to borrow money in order to pay your bills. Because your revenue comes in at different points in time of the year. Your sales tax revenues, your fines on a monthly basis, your property taxes at the end of the year or the beginning of the following year. Because, as it turns out, the only parish in the state of Louisiana who pays their property taxes on the front end as opposed to the back end is the city of New Orleans. And it was a little trick and nuance that was played many years ago in order to try and cover up, you guessed it, a huge deficit, right? And their inability to be able to borrow money. So they got very creative, kind of like what's going on with Medicaid financing in this country. It's just these novel approaches. And that's why the city of New Orleans is different. Orleans Parish, that is. So there's a whole host of reasons of what is going on here. But none of it is pretty by any stretch of the imagination. And what's interesting is that there was no plan, none, zero, in talking about how you're going to reduce your cost, right? No notion of how many employees might need to be let go in order to create a balanced budget. Because out of the general fund, the lion's share of the expenses there are actually employment-related expenses. And if you want to bring the general fund back to a place where it needs to be, you need to do these things. You need to make an affirmative statement as we will not exceed this number in overtime. Plain and simple. Send a message to the troops. If you give them a blank check, they're going to put a lot of zeros on that blank check. And unless someone's there hammering on them as to how to judiciously schedule people and otherwise manage it operationally, your overtime numbers will continue to run amok and you will continue to have a problem day in and day out, and you'll never get to a situation where you're going to save yourself financially. It's not going to happen. Now, we've tried to probe with some of the candidates. We're still talking to candidates about coming on this week. This is the last week. I mean, we're down to the bitter end here, trying to work that out. We had we had Oliver Thomas on Friday, and we're still trying to connect up with both Helena Moreno and Royce Duplessis. You know, these are questions. I mean, you know, that demand answers, right? You put yourself out, you're running for public office, you're running for the office of mayor. I don't know what you fear. I mean, you had to know that this was going to be done. You've already done a bunch of debates. Our approach is a little simple. It's a one-hour conversation with the candidate, you know, to have a little bit more time to further explain what people's positions are on some of these important issues, plain and simple. I think folks are nervous. They're anxious. And they should be. And you should go out and vote. You should go out and vote and make sure that you exercise that right. And you should read about the candidates and you should educate yourself about the candidates and definitely take it seriously. Because if you investigate the candidates, we're going to pivot to another state. What you're going to find, like in the state of Virginia in the attorney general's race there, you have a candidate there who should be out of the race and shouldn't get a single vote, right? This candidate fantasized about shooting an individual who was the then Speaker of the Virginia House and who is now his opponent, who was then Speaker of the Virginia House. He talked about pissing on the graves of Republican office holders if they predeceased him. And he expressed his belief that Republicans would only change their views if they experienced personal pain. And allegedly, he gave us an example that the wife of Todd Gilbert, who was the then Speaker of the Virginia House, one thing, the example that he gave is watching her child die in her arms. Now, this is a guy, Democrat, who's running to be the chief law enforcement officer in the Commonwealth of Virginia. This is why you need to look at the candidates really closely. This is why you need an independent media that's willing to disclose this kind of material, because this speaks volumes about the emotional intelligence, or lack thereof, of this candidate, Jay Jones. Now, we hear a lot about political violence. We shouldn't have that. We need to have a kumbaya moment. We're going to be talking about that with Stefan Padfield in the next hour. How do you do that with this individual? His excuse is, well, we've all sent text messages that we regret. Really? Are you kidding me? I've never thought that I would want a political opponent's wife to experience watching her child die in her arms. How sick is this? How do you get to the point of having that ideation? I don't know. But this is why it's important you have to look at candidates. And this is why, you think this person can rehabilitate himself? I don't think so. How many people have actually thought about somebody that they work with that they don't like, that they would like to see their wife hold their dying child in their arms and have to go through that experience? I don't have a mindset it even goes to something as atrocious as that. I mean, this is a person that's having ideations on a level that nobody else is having. There might be other places better suited for Mr. Jay Jones. A lot of other places better suited than the Attorney General's office in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Senator Kennedy went to the Senate floor on Friday. And I don't know if you saw this. It was kind of interesting. It kind of blew me away. I don't know how this hasn't been reported extensively. And allegedly, what he says is that some of the things that Democrats are insisting on restoring in this bill, that their version of the budget bill that they want to bring forward, and it's kind of, you know, we're at this loggerheads and we have this government shutdown, are as follows. $3.6 million for cooking and dance workshops for male prostitutes in Haiti. Over $4.2 million for LGBTQ projects in the Western Balkans and Uganda. $6 million to subsidize Palestinian media outlets. $3 million for circumcision and vasectomies in Zambia. More than $833,000 for transgender people in Nepal. $500,000 to purchase electric buses in Rwanda. And $300,000 to sponsor a pride parade in Lesotho. I guess this is true. I mean, but can anybody really be in favor of restoring this? Is this part of this $1.5 trillion that they want in additional spend? Allegedly, this was in a previous bill that was taken out, right? And now they want this spend to be put back in. And this is part of their doubling down of a whole host of issues that they want back into this bill. I can't imagine, it's hard for me to imagine, that anybody in their right mind would go on record of saying that this is what they wanted, and that the reason that Americans are suffering and federal employees are suffering relative to a shutdown has to do with some of these programs. I mean, if that's true, that gets me to the point. I don't give a damn who's right, wrong, or indifferent. The Democrats have lost their mind, if that's true. We have Americans struggling. If we're going to give free vasectomies to anybody, why wouldn't we give them to Americans? If we're going to finance electric buses, why wouldn't we do it in America? Why are we involved in other countries doing this in other countries? Makes no sense to me. None. Zero. And then we're going to suffer and have to listen to this government. I mean, one of the most painful things is having to watch this BS on TV, right, about this government shutdown, about this spin and deflection and denial and evasion, and then they attack one another and the counterattacks, and we got to see this exercise over and over and over and over again 24/7. I don't know about you, I'm sick of it. But if this is, in fact, what they're fighting for, or part of it, I mean, who in their right mind would put that in the ask? It's like, are you kidding me? Somebody needs to get to the truth here. I'm assuming it's true. Allegedly, that's the case. But I'd love to hear from some independent third party that looks at this to see whether or not this is true. And if this is true, we should heap a pound of political pain on the Democrats. We should make them account for this, make them answer to this. You have got to be more serious than this. This is game playing. You are screwing with people's lives in the place we call home to fund and finance silliness in countries that 2 out of 10 people in this country could not name and could not identify where on the globe these countries belong. And I'm not saying that that should be the litmus test for spending, because that just highlights the failures of our educational system. But the fact of the matter is, the point I'm trying to make is that it's okay. We don't need to apologize if we want to take care of ourselves. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And we're back. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer, joins us. Jeff, it feels good. We can say finally it's behind us.
It's been a while. I've almost forgotten like how to react in. This felt like a game that the Saints should win, right? So it's hard to be too over the moon about it. But what makes it feel so relieving is if the Saints didn't find a way to win this game, and the Saints kind of just did their thing where they were close and then they lost it at the end, and the conversation would be, man, this is going really poorly. You're one of two teams without a win in the NFL. And, you know, how long is it going to be before they win a game? The Patriots just beat the Bills on Sunday Night Football. They're coming to town next week. That's not going to be an easy matchup. So we can at least shift the conversation from that to, all right, what are we building here, right? Like, where are things going? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think anyone watches this team and is like, they're a contender. But can you be a contender? What do you have to build around? What are these kernels of quality that you can build out and create a sustainable long-term winner from? And being able to go win a game like that, I think that's promising, right? Like, you're still 1-4. There's still a lot of bad. But you have kind of that taste of positivity. You can hopefully get on a streak here. Maybe you can beat the Patriots next week. You win two games in a row. You kind of create that culture of winning that seems to have disappeared. You know, the dome was hot yesterday. It took a little while. I think the crowd was a little hesitant to really kind of go all in until that long touchdown. But the vibes in there were great, the way that game went. And, you know, if all that happens this season, and I've said this before, is you remind yourself how to be a dominant home team and play better at home and win games in front of your home crowd and get your home crowd excited. That's a positive thing. That's moving in the right direction. Cause I think as we kind of went through the Dennis Allen era, one of the biggest sins of that era was not defending the Caesars Superdome or whatever you wanted to call the Superdome at the time. Like, it was, hey, you know, we're going to come home and the fans are expecting bad football. The fans are expecting a loss, and the energy in the building was reflective of that. That's why you see road team takeovers, because they expect to walk into the Superdome and win that game. So why not take a vacation to New Orleans for the week and have a good time and watch your team beat up on the Saints? So no, I think that's what this win is for me. It's kind of a sign that things are heading in the right direction, and we'll see how it goes from here.
You and I, for the past 3 weeks, talked about a couple of things that they were able to overcome in this game, and that's what I was excited about. One, Spencer Rattler being 21 of 31, 225 yards, his longest, 87 yards, you know, throwing the ball down the field. Taysom Hill throws the ball for a 19-yard reception. And Olave, you know, has, Shahid's got a 28-yard average in receptions, four receptions, and Olave with seven. And it seems like for the first time this year, we've been able to make some receptions down the field at key moments, right, which was exciting. And Rattler not throwing an interception, which is good, because our opponent, Jackson Dart, threw two. And our opponent had more penalties than we had. So I love it whenever the opponent has bigger problems than the problems we've been experiencing.
Yeah, you know, the bizarre thing about that game is it was like a shot-for-shot remake. If you go back to the 2023 season, the Bears came to the Superdome, and it was Tyson Bagent in one of his first starts of his career, and the Saints had five takeaways in that game, and it was fittingly Paulson Adebo, who had the game of his life, who was on the Giants team that the Saints beat yesterday, because when you could force five turnovers, everything gets a lot easier. And you can skate over some of the issues because they didn't become a factor. The red zone is a problem. The Saints are 29th in the NFL in red zone efficiency. You got to get better there. They were 0-3 in that game. And again, it was glossed over by the fact that they scored it from inside their own 20-yard line twice. And they failed to score from inside the Giants' 20-yard line three times. But no, I did like, you know, when you look at Spencer Rattler and how he was able to play, the most impressive thing from that game, he was pressured on 53% of his dropbacks. He did not get sacked one time. And when I watched Spencer Rattler playing, like, yes, you want to see more explosive plays. You want to see him get a little bit more aggressive. But avoiding negative plays and particularly avoiding sacks is probably the single greatest point of development for him in this season. I think he's been sacked 9 times through 5 weeks. It was closer to 19 through 5 weeks last year. So, no, I mean, you're going to still try to hunt those shot plays. I think he needs to be a little bit more aggressive in taking them and not always settling for a scramble. The scramble is always going to be there if he doesn't like the look. But you saw, you know, and he mentioned this in his post game, you know, just one of those plays in a game, just hitting a big play. And that doesn't have to be an 87-yard catch and run, although that's always nice. You could see what that did for that game. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, everyone liked it, right? The dome went nuts, and you could tell, like, everyone on the sideline, the offense, the defense, there was just a shot in the arm for that entire group. And at that point, the Saints were down 14-6. It didn't feel like they were in control of that game, right? And you get that play, you get a stop on defense, suddenly you're in control, you're dominating, and you win that game going away. The Giants had turnovers on their final six possessions because I count a turnover on downs as a turnover. The Giants turn the ball over on every single one of their second half possessions. And that's complimentary football, right? Like, the offense did enough. The defense took you home. And it's how the Giants beat the Chargers last week, is the defense set up the offense to play winning football. And the Saints did the same thing. And they took advantage. And, you know, getting that monkey off Spencer's back, I mean, just getting that first win. And it's in for Kellen Moore, but Spencer had that kind of 0-10 hanging over his head. When we went out to Seattle a few weeks ago, there was a guy in the stands with an 0-8 sign. Like, it's been getting thrown in his face every week. He's done a good job of handling it, you know, and so it's just cool to see him have that moment, and we can stop talking about that.
Yeah, and like you said, the energy in the dome was good, and, you know, because we're getting to that point now. If we weren't going to – I was more concerned – about really just being competitive, right? Because you and I talked about this too. If you're not competitive, the fans turn off.
Yeah. Oh, no question. And, you know, again, and like I've kind of said this already, but, you know, if you can at least create a culture where the fans go to the Superdome and expect to see good football, that's something. That's something to build on, right? Is winning on the road is hard. Like, you're not going to win a high percentage of your road games. You have to be a consistent winning football team. You have to defend your home field, make that a miserable place for opposing teams to play, make it an exciting place for the home fans to go and spend their Sunday, Monday, Thursday, and then find ways to steal some games on the road and beat the bad teams on your schedule. That's what the Saints used to do, right? Like, I remember, even before I lived here, I remember, you know, I grew up watching the Giants, right? And I vividly remember there was a Monday night football game. It might have been like 2012, 2013. And I was watching it, and I remember watching the Giants go into the Superdome and just feeling like this sense of existential dread, like the Giants have no chance in this game because that's such a difficult place to play. It's such an imposing place to play. And that just hasn't been the case over the last few years. But I felt like that was the case yesterday, and maybe that's just the Giants thing. The Saints just dominate the Giants. I tweeted during the game, like, what fans in the building were kind of learning in real time is that the Giants are the decade-long NFL league leaders in plays that create losing football. And that's what it was. I mean, the Giants just shot themselves in the foot. Like, we can give the Saints defense all the credit in the world. Jackson Dart literally fumbled a ball by kneeing it out of his own hands to start the second half. Took advantage, but the Giants shot themselves in the foot. There was a wide open flea flicker that Jackson Dart left about 15 yards too short. Terrell Burgess made a great play breaking it up, but like that's more about the Giants than the Saints. Darius Slayton dropped the ball that hit him right in the hands downfield, and these are opportunities for the Giants to extend their 14-3 lead or 14-6 lead. So, you know, like a lot of it is about the, like, you know, taking advantage of the mistakes other teams make. I don't think Saints fans, I don't think Saints players are going to complain, because it feels like they just haven't gotten those breaks in the first four games of the season. And this week it kind of all came at once.
Yep. Six field goals for the Saints taken, four made. This has always been a very reliable part of, you know, Saints teams for decades, for the most part. How many is that this year already?
I believe he's missed five, which would be one more than he missed all of last season in Blake Groupe. It's weird because you're talking about a guy who made four kicks and you asked him to kick the ball six times, which is more than you want to ask a guy to kick. He did make the short kicks, which you appreciate. The misses were from 46 and 52. He made one from 53. I also do need to give him credit for making a tackle on the sideline. You know, keep in mind, this guy's like 5'7", 170, and he's going full send at a kick returner who makes one guy miss. If Ugo Amadi doesn't make that tackle and Blake doesn't make that tackle, it might be a return for a touchdown and change the momentum of the game. So you got to give him credit there. But no, there's been issues in that kicking game, and it hasn't just been field goals, right? Like we've seen him hit two kickoffs and give the opposing team the ball at the 40. I don't think he's handled that part of the game particularly well. And what's concerning me the most about Blake is not necessarily that he's missing. It's how he's missing. And the fact that it's been all over the map. Like there was a kick a few weeks ago, that was just a kind of a slice. That is something we don't see from him. When he misses, it tends to be kind of straight. And if he starts it on the wrong line, it stays on the wrong line. In this game, you had kind of a heavy draw. The miss from 52 was a draw that looked good at the start and then kind of just leaked and leaked and leaked. If it was from 45, it probably goes in. It was from 52 and it leaked wide. And like, well, that's weird. You know, you don't see that from his kicks. And then his next kick was from 46, and it was a laser straight kick, but it was out to the right. And anyone who plays golf, you've had a situation where it's like, at least I have, where sometimes I'll miss, and it's like I missed because I hit it where I was aiming, because I didn't expect to hit it there, because I don't trust my own striking of the ball, and I expect it to slice, and it didn't slice.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And so I end up hitting it in the water, right? And I felt like that's what happened there is he didn't trust his own kick. So he left it. So he aimed too far to the right thinking, oh, well, it's going to draw back on me. And it didn't come back and he missed. And, you know, I think golf and kicking has a lot in common. And it just he just looks like a guy who doesn't trust his own kicks. And that's concerning because in a game like that, it didn't cost you. But you can see very easily like that's going to cost you a game at some point. And, you know, I don't think they're going to move on from him. I don't think they're going to change kickers this week. But you're at the point now where you have to at least start talking about it because the first couple weeks, you'd be like, all right, you know, some struggles, he'll get it straightened out. We haven't seen him get it straightened out. And so, yeah, that's frustrating. That's definitely one of the low points from this game.
The concerning thing for me, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you know, we really are still struggling to establish a running game, right? So when you get on the short side of the field, a lot of times you're three and out, you're in field goal range, and what I think would ultimately be the difference maker in games to come for the Saints is the ability to hit that 45 to 55 yard field goal. And it's something that you've always relied on, and I agree with you. I think we will end up losing football games if we don't gain more consistency in that range. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And it makes me start to ask, okay, is he dealing with something? Is there an injury that we don't know about? Or is it just inconsistency? Because I'd almost hope that there's an injury that we don't know about. Because kicking is a really mental thing. Like you start to kind of get that kind of Chuck Knoblauch syndrome. And, you know, what I appreciate, you do have to say is, okay, so early in the season, the short misses were concerning. And the misses inside 40, he had two misses inside 40. Well, he straightened that out. He wasn't really an issue inside 40. And now the question is, okay, 40, 45 and out. He did make a 53-yarder in that game. So it's not like he can't make it. It's not like he's completely off kilter. It's just a consistency, and you thought that he had sorted that out last year. He had a great year last year. He had a great offseason. And this really came out of nowhere. And that's what's frustrating about it is you know it's not his DNA. You know he's got that consistent kicker in there, and you just haven't seen it. And you would hope that through 5 weeks of the season, whatever's kind of ailing him, he could get it sorted out. I think that the issue to me is not just Blake. Blake is kind of symptomatic of the larger issue, which is special teams has not been a strength of this team. And it's easy to forget because the Giants didn't kick off the ball at all in the second half, right? But their first three kickoffs, I would argue that all three kick returns to start the game were poorly executed. All three decisions to field the ball were the wrong ones. The Giants, the Saints had to start their first drive of the game at the 9. And it's because of the decision to return the ball rather than just take the touchback and get it at the 20. The second one, you fielded it and took a knee, but you fielded it in play. So you got the ball at the 20 instead of the 35. And the third one, I would argue you should have done the same thing and take a touchback, but instead you got it at the 16. And like we saw them blow up on special teams against the Seahawks. We've just seen those penalties on the kickoffs. Like it seems like there's issues and issues that are not getting ironed out. And that's a problem for me. And that's something I think the Saints need to look at.
No doubt. Well, we look forward to next week's game, and we look forward to hearing you guys as the Saints take on the Patriots at home, 3:25 start on October 12th. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Have a great week.
Sounds good, Newell. I feel a winning streak. I feel it.
You feel it? I do, too. We'll be right back. All right, man.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.